Welcome to our first talk of Research Colloquium and Speaker Corner series. I'm really excited that we have fabulous opening and we have one of the eminent personality from LIS field to open this academic year's talk series. Thank you very much for all coming, and I'm going to introduce Dr. Ken Hickok, and it's my privilege and honor to introduce him. Dr. Hickok is currently Research Professor of Management and Organization at the Marshall School of Business at the University of Southern California. Dr. Hickok attended school in Hamilton and London, and he has BA and Diploma in Education from the University of Western Ontario, Master of Education from the University of Ottawa, AMLS from the University of Michigan, MBA from Royal Roads, and Education Doctorate from Brigham Young University. Dr. Hickok is the former director of the School of Library and Information Science at San Jose State University, and immediately preceding his tenure at San Jose, he was the director of the School of Library, Archival, and Information Studies at the University of British Columbia. Ken has been the president of several national and international professional and scholarly associations. He has held the chair called Follett Chair in Library Information Science at Dominican University in US, and he is the visiting professor at Queensland University of Technology at Australia. Dr. Hickok has received Research and Service Award for outstanding contributions from several associations, including ALA and CLA and the ALEs. Dr. Hickok has worked in most library environment as coordinator for a major school district, CEO of a regional public library system, manager of special libraries, and on the review teams of academic libraries and museums. He has also been a senior official of $400 million public organization. Within the broader communities, he has been a public library trustee, a local union president, an elected school board member and chair, an elected municipal councillor, and has participated on community boards as diverse as federal publishing, juries, community information, elimination of sexism, race relations, and community services. Ken Hickok is committed and passionate advocate for public education, for libraries, and for librarians. Let's welcome, give a warm welcome to Dr. Ken Hickok.
You, but I feel really old all of a sudden.
But you know what? I wish I could read on this on my CV as well. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. One of my great failings is that I have a preference for cold pizza. So I hope that you're going to leave me at least one slice. Because I'm working with the Edmonton Public Library for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And they're paying me so little that they decided to outsource me to the U of A for an hour to recoup their investment. So that's why I'm here today. And I have finished a session there at 10 to 12, and have another one starting at 1:30. So I am pleased to be here. We're talking about networking savvy, and some of you are thinking, who cares? Right. You do know the definition of an extroverted librarian. That is somebody who at a party looks at your shoes. We do not like networking as a group. We do not like it. 70% of the general population is naturally extroverted. 70% of the library profession is naturally introverted. See? That doesn't have anything to do with shyness. It's just that extroverts tend to think and talk at the same time, usually without an effective 3-second filter about what's going to come out of their mouth. I am one of them. Introverts have the advantage of thinking and then maybe talking. So what you tend to hear is sometimes a little more well-formed and thoughtful and substantive. But it does mean that networking is sometimes easier for extroverts because extroverts tend to get their energy from being around other people. Introverts tend to be drained from being around other people. Now, nothing is black and white. The world is gray, and so on. But generally, we're not comfortable with networking. So the question then becomes, well, who really cares? By the way, my laptop didn't work, and it had my notes on it. So I have the slides. I hope I remember what I was going to say. Which is, by the way, something you should never say at the beginning of a presentation, because my credibility just went down in front of you all. So that was a very stupid thing to say. Never do that in a class presentation. So the question then becomes, why bother networking? And what we know, of course, is that there's opportunities everywhere, and we're looking at really what might be called positive networking. Networking is not about finding somebody who can do something for you. Network is about finding things that you can do for other people. And you think to yourself, well, what on earth can I do for somebody else? Well, at a networking event, you can introduce the person you're with to somebody. That is doing somebody a favor. Reciprocity, a gift, very important. Well, who cares? Who cares? First of all, the U.S. Bureau of Labor study, and it's been replicated in Canada, has found that between 60 and 70% of the jobs in our field are not advertised. Shocking when you think of it. And we could say, that isn't right, that isn't fair, that isn't transparent, and we're very good in our field at being shocked and appalled at any kind of number of things. But that's the reality. So what do we do about it? How we find out about jobs is through our networks. So we have no choice, really, but to network. We also know in studies of leadership and people looking for promotions in organizations that we think that having a different opportunity in an organization, being given a special project, working on a research activity, job exchange, rotation. We like to do those things because they think that they expand our skill set, and indeed they do, and indeed they do. But the reality is, what is found to be most powerful in terms of promotion and being successful is building the network. Because when you face a problem, you have somebody you can call. Somebody who understands, who's been there, who you can talk to, and get advice. And that's what becomes critical in this whole notion. So the question of networking becomes very important. And I highly recommend to you a book called Working the Pond. I see nobody writing it down. But anyway, I think it's highly recommendable, and I suggest it to you. It's called Working the Pond. It's by three authors. And why do I recommend it? The subtitle has a positive networking in the subtitle. I can't remember the full subtitle. But the reason I recommend it is because what they outline there is not only the evidence for networking, but how to do it easily and how it can work for you. And I'll tell you two stories about networking, and you may think there's a huge disconnect between us because of my advanced age, and I've been around a long time, and what I'm going to say doesn't apply to you, but it really does, because most of the jobs that I've got in my career have been through a network. About 3 years ago, I got a telephone call from one of the authors that worked the pond, and they said to me, we tracked down your number and we noticed that for a class at San Jose, 100 copies of this book was bought, and we've never had it used in a university before, and we're just wondering how you used it, because we wonder if we could help understand the market better and what we might do about it. So we talked about the book and how I'd used it in a course, a leadership course, and of course the conversation, I said to the woman who called, Gail, I said, where are you? And she said, oh, I'm in Vancouver. And I said, well, as it happens, I'm in Vancouver now as well for the next 3 or 4 days. I was actually at that time commuting to San Jose. And she said, oh, well, why don't we have lunch? So 3 days later, I had lunch with the three co-authors of the book. And you think, so big deal, you had lunch, they bought, it was very nice. One of the co-authors is actually the president of the Vancouver Board of Trade, which is a very important business organization in Vancouver. We're talking about what I did. And he said, you know, I know some people at the Board of Trade who are very, very interested in the work that you're doing in distance education and also your views about the future of libraries. Why don't I put you together with them and you can meet with them about it, and they have groups that they'd be interested in having you speak to. Networking. Now you may think, well, I'm not interested in that. Well, I am very interested in advancing our field. I will talk to anyone about how important our field is and why they should know about what we're doing and what our issues are and what our social concerns are and so on. And we all need to be doing that. I have this job now at the University of Southern California. They pay me a rather obscene amount of money. Some of my colleagues, deans and other directors in LIS programs, said to me, so how did you get this job? I never saw it posted. Well, it wasn't posted. Here's how it happened, very quickly. University of Southern California decided, this is very positive, University of Southern California decided that librarianship is the profession of the future. And they wanted to know why they, as a major private research university, did not have a degree program in it. So they hired a consultant to look at what they'd need to do. The consultant, happens to be a very close friend of mine, told them that they really wanted a successful program. There was only one person they should really hire, and that would be Ken Haycock. She said to the dean she was dealing with at the University of Southern California, I'm sure you've never heard of him, but I'll send you his contact information. She said, actually, we work together at the University of British Columbia. I'll give him a call. They called. I said, I'm not the least bit interested in your job. I've just retired. I've just moved. I went through a very critical personal change in my life. And I'm quite comfortable where I am now in Vancouver. And I certainly have no intention of moving back to California. I was there for 5 years, been there, done that. I don't want to do it. But what if you didn't have to move? I said, well, that's sort of an interesting proposition. Come for a week, a month. Well, it's getting more interesting. I said, I'm going to a conference in Dallas for 6 days, so call me after that. We'll come to Dallas and meet with you. So they came to Dallas, and we met for 3 hours. And I said, well, I have some conditions. Some are negotiable, some are not negotiable. I won't bore you with what they all were, but one was I wanted this program in the School of Business, because nowhere in the United States is there an LIS program in a major school of business, and there's a lot of advantages to that. I thought, well, this is a university. That'll take them 3 years to figure that one out. Well, we finished breakfast at 11:30. At 4:30, they called me and said, it's done. I've had a meeting with the provost and the dean of the School of Business, and that's where it'll be. I said, well, I guess what you're saying is you're not going to give me 6 months to think about this. They said, we were hoping for 6 minutes, actually. And I said, well, what about 6 days? They said, we'll come to Vancouver in 6 days and meet with you. How much do you want to be paid? And I said, that's not how it works. You make an offer. I ask if it's negotiable. I give you a little counter offer. You dance for a couple of weeks. And then we settle on something. How much do you want to be paid, Ken? So I told them. They said, done. I said, could we rewind that just a little bit? Because I probably suggested a number that was a little smaller than what I meant to say. Well, no, we can't rewind it. That's what you want. That's what we'll pay. So they came to Vancouver 6 days later with a contract. That's how it was done. It was never posted. Now you think, well, I'm never going to be in that position. Well, I can tell you that most positions in libraries are not posted. Now, we're not just talking about special libraries. In public and academic libraries, there's often a contractual obligation to post the job internally only. So unless you have in your network somebody in that institution, you're not going to hear about it. It doesn't mean that external applicants, this is where people get confused often, it doesn't mean that external applicants can't apply for the job and be successful, but it's only going to be posted internally. So your network needs to make you aware of those opportunities, entry-level jobs, promotional jobs, and so on. And the reason it's also important is because there's been a sea change in our field in the last 10 years. 10 years ago, if you graduated from an LIS program and you went to work in a public library, that's where you were for life. If you worked in a special library, that's where you were for life. If you worked in an academic library, don't think about moving, because the other sectors didn't think that you had anything in common with them. That has all changed now. People are moving across sectors all the time. So again, unless your network is there and keeping you informed, and I'm not saying when you're looking for a job, just hearing about them, because something might come along that's of interest to you that you never considered otherwise, or there was a good opportunity, or there was a maternity leave.
that isn't going to be posted. Anything like that becomes very critical for us to hear about. And there's value in social networks and associations and attending conferences and other kinds of things. So let's know, first of all, that I did not put an H in front of those. On my computers, those were an attractive little check mark. So first of all, it is not about sales. We're not selling ourselves. We're not selling anything. It's about getting to know other people, appreciating them, and liking them. It is not meant to be stressful. Now, I have to tell you that as an extrovert, I actually find it highly stressful networking. I find it highly stressful. So what do? I make sure I'm prepared. When I'm in the elevator going to a reception, I think about three things I might talk about. It's not hard. You think about what you talk about when you're in the lineup at the airport. You don't turn to say someone and say, what do you do for a living? You don't say, how many children do you have? You say, long line, isn't it? I mean, something that you have in common. I wonder how long we're going to be here. I wonder if they're going to bring more reservation clerks out. Lousy weather, isn't it? I mean, you say something that starts the conversation that's based on something you have in common. If it's at an SLA reception, which I hope you attend in Alberta, you say, great food. I wonder how long the bar is going to be open, or whatever. I mean, you talk about what's in common. What kind of environment that you work in? Have you always worked there? So we get to know what's happening and make connections with other people. It is it is a science and an art, and it's all about attitude. And if you have a positive attitude, there's a saying that attitudes are catching. No, attitudes are contagious. Is yours catching? Something like that. Anyway, a positive attitude becomes important. So, especially if you do not have a job, make sure that you have a business card. If you don't have a business card, and I have one here for each of you who is interested, that we might exchange business cards. If you don't have a business card, you are nowhere. Nowhere. It will not happen. Get a business card. And on your business card, do not put student. Put candidate. MLIS candidate. As soon as you put the word student, you're putting yourself in a lower classification of being in terms of the workplace and working. Say candidate. Candidate makes it sound as if you're finishing next month, even if you're just starting. Candidate makes it sound more academically prestigious. That may be silly, but it does. But have a business card. The fact of the matter is that I am here giving up my lunch hour to talk to you as a favor to your director and your professor because they are in my network. And my pay for today, for preparing this last night, and being here is a slice of cold pizza. Do I expect something in return? Knowing these two, I can only say maybe. But it's part of my network and part of doing things for others because then at some point, you know that if they hear about something that they think you're interested in, they're going to get in touch with you. So the business card is really important. And you need to make sure that you've got enough of them. If you're going to sit at a table at a conference or a meeting, you don't want to walk around meeting people. You're going to sit at a table. Make sure that you've got at least 7 business cards with you because there are going to be at least 7 other people at that table. And what you want to do, because I can assure you almost no one else will do it, is walk around, introduce yourself to everyone at the table, and give them your card. If you give me your card before you leave today, what are the odds that I'm going to remember you more than somebody who didn't? Like 1,000%. It's not going to happen otherwise. And then, of course, we're going to follow up on LinkedIn because, of course, everybody here is on LinkedIn and we will connect on LinkedIn because that's where business connections are made. And you need a place on LinkedIn if you aren't there already. So we're going to connect on LinkedIn and then when I hear about a job, I can go on LinkedIn, and within 3 minutes or less, I can see the people who are still MLIS students or candidates, and if I hear about a job, it's very easy for me to send that information out to people. And I do that. And so do all of my friends, because we want to see you be successful. But if you're not in my network, I don't know who you are, what you're looking for, and what you're doing. And people contact me, and Ernie, and Anish, and others in this room about possible jobs, openings, advice. We look at my resume. These are people in your network, and of course we will. But if I don't know who you are, and I'm not connected with you, it's not going to happen. 60 to 70% of jobs are not advertised. It's really rather important to think about. So, if we're exchanging business cards, which of course is what we want to do, we're going to first of all, make eye contact, right? Because it's the first thing you want to do if you're talking to somebody. You're not going to look at your shoes. You're not going to look at somebody's shoes. You're going to make contact. Say, hi, my name is Ken.
Hi, my name is Jenny.
Okay. Eye contact. What is the next one? Extend your hand. Exchange business cards. Why do I have them in this hand? Because my other hand is here. Okay. So I have it on that pocket, on my right pocket, or else I look like a gymnast who doesn't know what he's doing, right? Exchange business cards. Engage in conversation. Very simple, the four E's. Eye contact, extend your hand, exchange business cards, engage in conversation. Very simple. Now, the business card. I mentioned the purpose of remembering, at least reminding who you are. Because if Tammy gives me your card, no, your card. I don't want mine. I know who I am. You don't have one with you. So sad. Business card, I would, when I leave, write on the back of it, U of A student. And I would echo. And the business card makes conversation very easy because her card will tell me what she does. If I'm at an LAA conference, if I'm at a Greater Edmonton Library Association meeting, she gives me her card. I have a basis for conversation. It's like, oh, you're at the U of A. How are you enjoying the courses? What are you taking this semester? When do you expect to finish? Did you know that so-and-so over here actually has an opening? It's only a six-month opening, but you might want to meet her. That's doing something for her. I'm not looking for anything. But something may come back to me because it's really like a gift. It's not a product. It's not something I bought. But it's a gift that you're giving to somebody else in terms of an introduction, giving them information, making them better known. Now, one of the things that has occurred in business cards in the last year, only in the last year, is that the research on business cards suggests that you should have your picture on them. Well, when I used to talk to people about this, they'd say things like, what is in many of your minds right now?
I'm not a real estate agent. I'm not putting my picture on. Why would I? That's outrageous.
So I thought I should be in harmony with the profession, and I never put my picture on my business card. Well, I have to tell you, in the last year, things have changed. When I was at the American Library Association conference in Anaheim, it was quite surprising to me that for the first time ever, I got a number of business cards with people's pictures on them. And I can tell you, I remember them a whole lot better by seeing their picture later than not having it there. The other big change was, especially among students, the number of cards I got that had a QR code. Quite a large number had a QR code that went to their resume online. Very interesting. Something to think about, anyway. So I think I belabored that enough. But I have my cards here, and I hope that you'll come and take one. Whoops. So going solo is always hard. It's always easier if you're actually there with someone. And if you're going to a networking event, why would you sit on your own? I don't understand this. People go to a network event and then they find the table with nobody at it. Or they stand against the corner by themselves. So what do? If you're nervous, you go up to somebody who's standing on their own and say, I see you're on your own too. Make the connection, start to talk. Very easy in that sense, and determine what you have in common. So what you also need to do is to have a 21-second introduction that you can make to somebody. Now that isn't easy, because I know your lives are so full and interesting that narrowing it down to 21 seconds is really difficult. Personally, I have found that the easiest thing to do is remember an acronym. For me, if somebody wants an introduction and it's more than 21 seconds, I happen to remember the acronym PAWS. P-A-W-S, like the dog or the cat, if you have a preference, and I know people line up on each side of that equation. And that is, say something personal, something academic, something about work, and something about your skills or your interests or your abilities or whatever. So this is something that an instructor at a session like this should never do. But I'm so distressed by the three of you who are looking at me in the most bored possible way. I know that you only came for the pizza and the Coke. That I would ask you to think for 1 minute how you would introduce yourself in 21 seconds, take the minute, and then to the person next to you, turn and introduce yourselves in 20 seconds. So think about it for a minute first. I'm making the assumption you know your name at least to start, so that makes it easier. Hello, my name is. A few more seconds before you begin.
It couldn't have been that hard to find something to talk about, obviously, because it was difficult
discontinuing the conversation. One of the things that you want to think about is making sure that you treat everyone as equals. Now, let me give you an example. I saw this recently. I'm going to take a little license with the truth to make my point, but it's close to the truth. I was at a conference recently. I was talking to someone. Someone came in, started introducing themselves, and I said, you just met Eileen over there. Yeah, she's an accompanying person, so I didn't bother talking to her. Really? She's actually a board member on a major library board and the wife of the provost at the university. She maybe here is an accompanying person. You just missed a great opportunity to introduce yourself. I do executive searches for CEOs of public libraries and some academic librarians. This is a bit of a hobby. I have this problem. I do hotel reviews as a hobby. I have many little hobbies. But anyway, I saw the best candidate for a job lose it because there was a reception held for the staff. And she thought she was being very strategic. She went around and spoke to all the board members and the members of the senior management team, had a drink and chatted with the chair of the board. And in the feedback, the clerical staff felt disrespected. And the board decided they didn't want that kind of person. You just never know who you might meet or what you might do. You know, you just never know. I sat beside somebody on the plane a few weeks ago who turned out to be the publisher of a major newspaper. We had a little chat about, guess what, the changing role of libraries and how they're going to survive and thrive into the future. Now, will that result in a story? I really don't care. But when something comes across his desk that addresses it, he's going to be more likely to consider it than before our conversation. So those networks become really important. And there are a lot of things like that that happen that you just have to leave yourself open to. I thought I was being very strategic with this program we're starting by putting it in the School of Business. And I thought I knew about business. I have an MBA and I've got a doctorate in administration. I've dealt with a lot of corporate types. I've been on a city council. So I figured I knew what I was talking about, right? Well, it turns out that for our advisory council in the School of Business, people pay to be on it. I said, they pay to be on the advisory council. Gosh, I've been director at two universities and on the faculty at four, and we beg people to be on our advisory council. And they looked at me. These are hardcore business people. They looked at me and said, you're giving people to influence the career of the future, and you don't think they want to be at the table? I said, how much do we charge to be on our advisory councils? Well, go and speak to so-and-so. So I went to speak to Holly, who's the director of one of the centers in the School of Business. I said, well, so I was supposed to find out from you how much we typically charge. She said, well, we have two levels of membership on our advisory board. I said, what are they? $50,000 a year and $25,000 a year. And I said, maybe it's from Canada that we just wouldn't do that. She said, well, that's strange. The CBC's on our board, aren't they tax supported in Canada? At the University of Southern California? I mean, I was ready to close down that whole conversation, and then I started to interview people in Canada and the United States who head up large library systems and say, would you pay $5,000 to $10,000 a year to be on our board if you influenced the curriculum and if we took your money and instead of pocketing it, either put it into student scholarships or said, what's the major research issue you're facing this year as a collective group of 12 employers, and we'll engage faculty and students in addressing that issue so you will have a high-powered report and the students will have an opportunity to engage in that for the profession. They all said yes. Now, sometimes I think we diminish ourselves without understanding how much others also value us, and we never know that unless we open ourselves to the conversation. And I think that we never know who we're going to meet, where the conversation is going to lead, and of course, if the conversation isn't going anywhere, we also need to have the skills to disengage. So we'll talk about that as well. Make sure that you have your name tag on. By the way, I made this myself because I knew they wouldn't make one for me at the Edmonton Public Library. I have two. One that says Edmonton Public Library, Leader in Residence, and then I changed it for this one for my USC position. But I want to make sure that you know who I am. Otherwise, why would I come here? It's not a question of arrogance. I mean, I just want you to know that I'm here, I'm alive, I'm interested, I want to engage with you, and this is my name. You should feel the same. I should be able to read it. You shouldn't have to walk up and have to look right at your breast to see who you are. That's really upsetting to me, and more so probably to you. So you want to make sure that it's appropriately placed. If you go to a conference, for some reason they're on a string that insists on ending up just below your belt. So you want to make sure that you have something to yank it up so it ends up here, not here. You want to be able to read your name. You do not want it here. Why do you not want it here? Because when I go back and make eye contact with Tanya, where does she look? She looks here, right? Because we're using our right hand. So she doesn't even see my name over here. So I want to paste my name tag on my right lapel, whereas we all put them on our left because we're right-handed. So put it on your right lapel so people can see it. No offense to the lefties in the room, and I'm not speaking about your politics. Okay, so pull up your strings, make sure they can see it, and make sure that you engage with others. The mathematics really does work. On average, we all know 300 people. And you're thinking, well, I can think of three next to me, maybe 30, but actually we do know 300 people. That means by 6 degrees of separation, you're close to 90,000 people. And there have been a lot of studies about 6 degrees of separation, that you know somebody who knows somebody who knows something, they end up coming back and knowing somebody who knows you. And that becomes a very powerful, powerful network. You should speak to your director. He can tell you similar stories to my own and probably much more entertaining. A couple of other tips. There's nothing more disconcerting than watching you chew pizza with your mouth open while I'm having a conversation with you. And most receptions have food and drink, so be careful about that. Make sure that you can carry both your glass and your plate and talk to someone and take their business card. It's very hard, but you can buy these things. I carry them in my pocket. You clip it on your plate, you stick the glass in, and you can do it all with one hand. Works very well. Make sure and sit at the front. Oh my God, who wants to sit at the front? Well, who do I know best in this room now? Who do I know best in this room? She may not want to be known best in this room, but if you're at a conference or a meeting and you're interested in the topic, you're more likely to introduce yourself to the speaker beforehand when he or she doesn't know anybody, or afterwards when you've got a question, if you're at the front of the room and can engage in conversation. And if you ask a question, again, we're so self-defeating, and poor little me, and I'm merely a librarian. I'm not even a librarian, I'm a student librarian. No. If you're going to ask a question, stand up and say, my name is so-and-so, I'm an MLIS candidate at the University of Alberta, and my question is. Don't just ask your question. Make sure everyone in the room knows who you are, because in all likelihood, someone is going to say later, well, you're the one who asked that interesting question in the session yesterday. They're more likely to say that than if you don't introduce yourself and don't say who you are. So make sure that you ask a brief question, carry a notebook so you can make any notes that you want about people you want to follow up with. I have learned to say in groups like this, if you want to get in touch with me afterwards, and my last slide will have my telephone number and my email, if you want to get in touch with me, please just make sure and contact me. And people say, oh, why would you ever do something like that? It's easy. None of you will contact me. So I'm giving you a gift, and none of you, trust me on this, will pick me up on it. And if you do, I will be so grateful. You will be the only one who actually looked like you listened to what I had to say. And you followed up and connected, so I will remember you. It's true. It's absolutely true. Also, if you're at a reception, I mean, I have some self-esteem. I hope you have some self-esteem. If I walk up to a couple of people and want to introduce myself and talk, and they continue talking to each other and completely ignoring me, well, they've got 28 seconds. And then they've lost out on this wonderful opportunity to meet me. Move on. Do not get obsessed about it. Do not stand around. Do not try to interject yourself. Do not feel badly. Move on to the next group, because there'll be another group that wants to talk to you. Review your business cards at the end of the day and remember the names. Okay. Now, what are some things you could ask? Well, I mentioned some. Find something in common with the situation you're in and ask those questions. If you're at a conference, have you been to any good sessions? Are there a couple of things you learned? Don't ask people what you do. I don't know why people ask that. Why do we define ourselves by what we do for a living? Ask them what they like to do. It's a little easier, it's more interesting, it opens up greater conversations. Now for the shy and introverted, be prepared. Have your business cards. It's very easy. Walk up to the first person. The more you do it, the more confident you'll be, the easier it'll get. It's easier to go with someone else. If you're nervous about going to an SLA event or a Greater Edmonton Library event or the Library Association of Alberta or to something that's sponsored by a prospective employer, go with someone else. Because I can, and this is what would happen. If we went together, and if there was something else on, we had time, why wouldn't we go together down the hall? I'd say, do you know, she is this amazing student in the Swiss program at the U of A. This is someone you should get to know. This woman's going places. You should talk to her. I can say that about her. Can she say it about herself? No. So you can introduce the person you're with in very positive way. This is somebody I worked on a project with last semester. It's amazing what she knows about intellectual freedom. We've all learned a great deal from her. It opens up conversations and it gets to capture the person you're with. And it's easier to sell somebody else another. The other thing is that if you go to an event and you're sitting at a table, leave some seats between you. So strangers sit down and then introduce yourselves. You've already got your confidence there with the other person, but leave some space between you for another person to sit down. Introduce each other and rescue each other. The best person to go to an event with is the one who recognizes that you are in pain. You want out of this conversation. I've been here too long. Save me. And they will come over and say, I was just going to get another drink. Do you want to come with me? I have somebody over here I thought I'd introduce you to. Can you break away? Your friend can do that more easily than you can. So it's not all that difficult. Step out of your comfort zone. Introduce others in flattering ways. And if you feel rejected, move on. It's their loss, not yours. And make sure and use your cards. So following up then, afterwards, you don't want to contact everyone. You don't want to send a blast email. I have business cards from all of you people and I so much enjoyed meeting you. No. Pick the ones that you want to stay in touch with. It may be a project. It may be somebody who talked about jobs. It may be somebody who you did a paper on and would like to talk about further. People love talking about what they're interested in. It's not every day you meet somebody who's interested in what you're interested in and want to follow up. They really do. Don't waste people's time, but send them an email afterwards, which is very easy. If you really were impressed with somebody, and genuinely. I'm not talking about doing things that are not genuine and authentic, because anyone can see through that. But if you really were impressed with a speaker, send a handwritten note, insert your business card. They will remember you. And you're not doing it to be remembered. You're doing it because you really enjoyed what they did and the contribution they made. But if you see them again, you can introduce yourself and say, I was at your session last year. I was so impressed I sent you a card. They will remember, because you don't get many cards. You don't get very many thank you notes or anything like that. And you do remember people. So, seven secrets. I have in my pocket at all times seven business cards. Four about my consulting, with my picture, new cards. I just went out of my comfort zone, put my picture on. My business cards at USC, no picture. I carry them with me, and usually at the end of the day, they're gone. And I give out cards all the time. And when I get cards back, I put them in the other pocket, so I'm not giving out somebody else's cards, you know, which you can do quite easily. I have a couple here from this morning at EPL from managers, and we will connect and we will stay in touch around what we're doing and move forward from there in our relationship. So, in terms of an acronym, then networking, remember, especially if nothing else, your self-interest is employment, I assume. 60 to 70% of jobs are not advertised. It's the network. The network is critical. It's easier to travel in pairs and just keep it going. Keep the conversation going. Keep the networking going, and it'll work very well for you. As Peter Newman said, and on that note, thank you very much.